Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party gonna hell. Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well,
good evening, everybody. How you doing, TJ?
I'm here.
Hey, Tom.
That's me.
I can hear you.
Hey, boy. Look here, man. I got to tell you straight up. I'm mellow yellow jello right now, folks. Things are coming up rosy. We have never, ever, 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 ever had so many sightings as we've had in this last 6 weeks. Folks, I got to tell you, and thank you. Thank you, Marco Bill. Thank you, you people all over the globe. Thank you, people right here in the U.S. of A. I don't want to thank the weather situation because it's erratic as hell, and it's making these creatures move all over. And I'm talking daytime, midday, nighttime, in the middle of the early mornings. I have never seen so many people calling. I'm in conversations on the phone, folks. I have two phones. Those of you who know me, I have two phones, and I have to have two because wherever we go in the world, one's not enough because of the coverage. So I figured if I have Verizon and I got AT&T, I've got it all. And some of my guys have Sprint, AT&T, Verizon, and there's some other thing out there, Artel or something. It's good in the mountains. Whatever. Whatever it takes to get the job done. But I've got to tell you, we got an interesting show for you tonight, folks. I had to fly back to California to take care of some business. The rest of the guys, TJ and Rob and Keith and his crew, are down there in Alabama. And my God, Ken up there in Michigan was great. And Jimmy Boots, as you know, from Pennsylvania. And it just goes on and list goes on and on and on and don't stop. Okay? If Rocky's on today, I've got to tell him what happened. I get a call from Arkansas, and the guy has 50 acres, and he's 2 hours away from Fayetteville. It's a father and a son. And he was hesitant to talk to me, but the son had made the call. And, oh, my God, he says, since you guys have an outlet just 2 hours away, can your guy come out and help us? So, Rocky, we'll talk about that later. But you
Rocky
know,
isn't on tonight. Tell me.
Huh?
He's not on. He's sick. He's laying. He went to sleep.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, I noticed that when he was out there in the brush with us. He was a little sluggish, wasn't feeling good. But you know what? We all get sick, and everybody gets better. So he'll be back next week, I'm sure. But I got to tell you guys something. If it wasn't for you being our ears, our eyes, our nose, we won't know where to go. And I was delighted to hear from TJ and Rob about Keith and Timmy and the guys that he's working with out there in Alabama, that he says, you know what, Dad? These guys are the real deal. Now, what does it make these guys a real deal, folks? Well, let me tell you what it is. It's the guys that invest in equipment, and they go out with boots on the ground, and there's more than one, two, or three of them, and they congregate, and they go looking for the Squatch, for Bigfoot. And I have a feeling you guys are going to get ready, buckle down, because you're going to hear some good stuff coming up. And without any further ado, let's get out there to Alabama and talk to Keith. Keith, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you, young man?
All right, man. I've been enjoying these guys' company here in Alabama the past couple of days.
Well, thank you for having them. And, you know, they've talked very, very highly of you. And I know that you've got stick formations, you've got prints, you guys, some of your people have seen the creature, whether it been gray or white or whatever color it may be. And I am just enthralled with hearing what's going around this country, ladies and gentlemen. I know Kenny is out there, and Kenny, I just want to give you a shout-out. Thank you for hosting our guys and for being so kind, the great hospitality that you showed them. Jimmy Schutz, I know, is on the show, too. So what I'm going to do, ladies and gentlemen, as promised, I told you I'd come on and say hello in the top of the hour, but I'm going to TO this show back to Bill and TJ. So, TJ, I want you to pay the biggest respects as you can to this crew of Keith and his people and Jimmy Schutz and Ken and his lovely bride and family. So can I send it back to you, TJ?
You got it.
We love you. Be careful out there. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the man of the hour, and he's going to tell you what's been going on. And let me tell you, it's a chock full of good times coming at you. Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are. Till next time, ladies and gentlemen. Talk to you next week. TJ's got the forum.
Well, you know, Marco, we've been spending a few days up here in Alabama with a group that, you know, we're getting pretty close with, you know, like my father was saying, that they're a group of guys that were all brought together by this creature. And if you all listen to our show, you know what we talk about, what Bigfoot is. Bigfoot is the great bringer together. You know, he gets people together that believe, and they go out in a in a cause and effect kind of a situation to where, you know, they may have not known each other in the beginning, but because Bigfoot was involved and it brought them closer to one another, they became friends and pals and, you know, got tired of probably listening to, like in the old days with us, the naysayer saying that that creature didn't live or exist or ever been on the planet. But, you know, these are the same people that we would tell their kids that the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus exist. You know what I mean, Marco?
You got it.
But I want to bring Keith on. Keith's with us this evening. And, you know, he's with the North American Primate. I think you should change it to the Northern Alabama Primate Research Organization. I kind of like that a little better. What do you think, Keith?
Hey, man. If it works for you, it works for us. As long as we're doing what we like doing.
You know, hunting squatch, looking for the beaver, checking out the Bigfoot. You know, why don't we take a moment and kind of, why don't you introduce yourself to the audience and tell them, you know, what got you into this, what brought you down to it, who's with you this evening. We'll get to them after that. But, you know, how did you start looking for the squatch? What brought you over the edge?
I'd say it's probably when I was around 10 or 11 years old. Me and my sister and a couple of my friends, we were playing in the woods here in the close to where I live, and we were following a creek, and there was a bend in this creek that we knew the water was deep enough we could swim in, and that was where we were headed, but we didn't know if somebody got that deep spot before we had, and we walked up on it from behind, and when we first saw it, I thought it was a bear, and at that age, you know, that's the first thing that's going to drop in your head, you know, over a bear. But as the thing stood up, it kept standing up and kept standing and turned around and looked at all of us, and it was gone like a puff of smoke. It was amazing the speed this thing had. So it scared all of us bad enough that we ran back home. And, of course, our parents told us, well, you know, you saw a deer or it was anything but what we – you know, thought it was. And as time passed, as I got older, I learned about Bigfoot, and I knew that's what I had seen. And I just started going out looking to put my mind at ease at what I saw all those years ago. And I kind of went through it with an open mind. And you get out there and you start finding these things that you know no human has been there to do. And something with some kind of intelligence had to do it. But in the places that we look, I know a person has not been there.
So, 11 years old, it brought you into the Bigfoot world. You became a believer. You probably got ridiculed as you got a little older, I'm guessing. How did you get the boys and decide to create, you know, the Northern Alabama Primate Research Hominid Organization?
I'm going to tell you, I mean, I'm sure you know this yourself and anybody else out there listening decided to do this. It's a lonely occupation at the start, it really is. I got a couple of younger guys interested in it here locally, and they, you know, were out here and there in the woods and saw some stuff and took pictures and sent to me because they knew I had an interest in it. And, I pretty much knew what it was when I saw the pictures, and I got talking to these guys, and before we knew it, we had formed, the group we have now, you know, the core members, and we just got out there, got, like you said, put boots on the ground. As we got into it, we learned what equipment we needed, and we would scrape the ground to get what we could as we could to get out there and look for these things.
Sure. So, who do you have with you this evening?
I've got Jonathan here, Tim, and another team member, Zane.
All right. Why don't you let us, since, you know, Timmy's closest to you, and he's like your son to you. Well, they're all like your kids, but, you know, your adopted son. Well, if you bring on Timmy, let's kind of hear a little bit from Timmy.
Okay. Here you go.
How you doing this evening, Timmy?
I'm good, you?
Life wouldn't get any better if you weren't squatching, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us what made you a believer and how you came into the Bigfoot world, and maybe a little bit about your job duties when you're in the field and what you take care of when you're going out squatching?
Well, it started when we were out at a friend's house, or friend's mom's house, and we went into the woods. Keith had his phone out sideways, taking video, and he zoomed in on one. We didn't know it was there until we went back and looked at the video when we got home, and that's how it started. That's what made me a believer.
So have you seen the creature yourself?
Yeah.
Tell us how that happened and what you were doing and how it made you feel and what time of year it was.
First part of the summer.
Okay. And when you saw the creature, did it frighten you? Were you frightened of it? And what was it doing?
Kind of scared me at first because I didn't know what it was at first.
Right.
Well, once I realized
what was the creature doing?
Just following us in the woods.
Just following you in the woods, that's normal?
Well, paralleling us.
Oh, I see. So something was kind of parallel. This is your first time on the radio, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay. It's okay. Take a breath. You know, we'll get back to you. Hey, I know you got Jonathan with you also, Keith. Why don't you put Jonathan on there?
Hello?
Hey, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
You know, doing outstanding. If I was doing any better, I could shoot myself in the big toe and then take myself to the doctor. You know, Jonathan, he's a paint you a picture, guys. He's probably 6'3". He's probably 190, 200 pounds. Big, stocking,
being kind.
Looking young man. What?
I said, oh, you're being kind about the weight.
Am I? Okay. You know, and he's a monster himself in the woods. This boy, he moves with a purpose when he's walking through the woods. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's listening to. You know, why don't we start off with maybe, you know, let me bring the listeners up to date here real fast. So we get in here last night. I'm guessing it was close to 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And, you know, there was some action that you guys had down by the Chattahoochee River. So Jonathan and team and Keith and all them took us down there to the woods. Why don't you take us through our walk that evening and the things we heard?
All right. Well, last evening we went out there. It's out, like you said, about by the Chattahoochee River. About a half mile out past my grandparents' house out in the woods near by the river. And we went out there. I led the crew. It was me, you, Rob, Tim, Keith, and my wife, Skylar. And I led the march through the woods. And my little brother, Matt, goddamn. Led the march through the woods. We went out to the same spot we always go out to. It's about a half mile walk, like I said. It's pretty dark. A lot of flashlights. We get out to the spot we normally get to, and we do a little knock to let them know just that we're out there. We'll do tree knocks, and typically Keith will do the calls and I'll do the knocks, or vice versa if need be if we're not getting anything. So we got out there. I did a knock. Keith did a couple calls, and all in all, it was pretty quiet for a while. It was really quiet for a while. I was kind of worried for a minute. So we got moving down a little bit further and did a couple more tree knocks and calls and caught up in the midst of it. I think me and Tim for sure were hearing movement behind us at one point. We were hearing leaves rustling, things going around. It's just the stuff we normally hear when we're out there. And every now and then, Keith, we'd hear a hoot coming from the other side of the river that we were at. And those are good signs. We normally get those signs when we're out there.
What do you think that is? Think it's a creature?
I'm confident it is. I've encountered it before. Yeah.
Oh,
I've
you have?
Come on, yeah.
Well, I'm sure my listeners would love to hear about that. Tell us a little bit, start off a little bit about what brought you into the Bigfooting and how it got you here, the time you saw the creature, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. All right. So it all started me and my friends, my senior year, we're all goofing around, riding around looking for a dirt road to go down, because that's what you do down in Alabama. And we found a dirt road, and there's about three of us on the back of the truck, and we pull up and see there's a mutilated deer. It's got a broken neck. Its ribs or its stomach was ripped down the middle. Its back legs were broken in. Its ribs were pulled out of it. It was really morbid, very morbid scene. We see a pile of dead squirrels, about three or four of them, with no heads on them. Real morbid scene. That all made us get the heck out of there. And so we booked it. The next day, we were over at Keith's house, just hanging out with him. Me and my friend Zane were, and we told him about it and showed him the pictures. And him having the experience he had, he said, "Oh, I bet that's Bigfoot." And, you know, to us, that didn't even cross our mind. We're thinking serial killer or something like that. And we said, "Okay, Keith." And he said, "Let me take y'all out there. I'll show you." And we said, "Okay, all right, let's go." We go out there. We get out in the woods, and we called the Witch's Graveyard around here just because it has some old 18th century, 19th century gravestones out there. We get out there, and this is about 1 a.m. We pull up in Zane's truck. It's just us three, and Keith gets out. He goes to the edge of the wood lines. He was the whole way up here. He's saying, "This is it. This is prime territory." And we're like, "How does he know this?" But he did. We get up there. We're doing some knocks, and it took a minute, but we started hearing footsteps paralleling us. Wasn't really close. Big footsteps. You could tell it was bipedal easily. It started walking parallel to us along the forest line, and it did that for about 3 or 4 minutes straight. It would only move when Keith would do his knocks or calls, so it was covered by the sound. That's what really got our attention going and let us know this thing's listening to us and paying attention to us. At this point, I don't know about Zane, but I start shaking. I'm shaking out of fear just because I'm like, okay, I get it. I just knew there was something out there. I said, "All right, Keith, we can go. We're getting into little scaredy cats at this point." And Keith said, "No, we ain't even done yet." And he starts doing more knocks, more calls. And eventually, we don't hear any more footsteps for a minute. It's quiet. A rock comes flying out of the wood.
Boom.
It goes flying past us. It had to be about the size of my fist. Flying, hit the other side of the dirt road. That was Zane's cue to get in the truck. he got in the truck right then and there. Started practicing putting the keys in the ignition. So he's like, "We're going to have to get out of here if Keith keeps intimidating this." And he's doing that. We get another call going a few more times. And right as I'm getting ready to get in the truck out of being scared, I hear a deep, it was about three times as deep as what I just did it. And that was what sent chills up my spine. So I get in the truck, and I'm like, "I can't do this no more. I just heard that thing." And Keith.
I got to back up. So a rock comes flying out of the wood line at you.
Flying out of the wood. Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
That would have scared anybody. That would have made people run to the hills or get behind a brick wall or, you know, kind of one. What were you thinking right then? I mean.
Oh, I was thinking. I knew. Based off the footsteps, I knew it was something. I was 90% sure it was on two legs. After a rock comes flying out of the woods, I was 100% sure it was on two legs and 100% sure it could throw and it had opposable thumbs. So at that point, I'm either thinking this is some dude, some maniac out in the woods, 1 a.m. out in the middle of nowhere, Beulah, Alabama, or this is what Keith is saying that it is, a Bigfoot. And those were my only two. I could logically only draw those two conclusions. There was nothing else I could imagine that would be able to do that. Then I heard the grunt, and the grunt was that immediately marked out the human because I know no human can make that noise. That's why I got in the truck. And by then, Keith just said, he backed up to the truck. He didn't get in. He just had the door open in between the door and the truck. Said, "I'm about to do a challenge call." And we said, "What?" He said, y'all just listen to this. He does this crazy howling pitch, and almost immediately, we thought this thing was about 50 yards away. For preference,
right.
We didn't hear it move. It sounded far away. Immediately, it sounds like somebody is dropping barbells on the ground out there, just running right up it was a small hill coming up to where we were standing, just storming up the hill. You could hear trees, chack, just being pushed over, bulldozed out of the way of whatever. It was coming at us. It was bluff charging us. We thought it was charging us. So that happens, and we're all screaming, oh, shit, go, put the keys in the ignition, get out of here. We're all, even Keith, we're all of us are like, I thought my life was in danger. I was scared for my life, and we got out of there, and as we're driving off, I looked back, and I didn't see it come out of the woods. That was when I knew, okay, that confirmed it for me that it's real, and that's what got me hooked on it. Didn't see
wow.
that thought another time, but that was what got me started.
And how long ago was that?
That was about 2 years ago.
Okay. So that was your first encounter, but then you had an eyewitness. You put some eyeballs on a target, on a creature.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, did it, you know, you're seeing things, you're hearing things, you're wondering, your mind's playing tricks with you, but the time that you saw it, how did it bring everything together to you?
Okay. When I saw it, like you said, I heard things, had rocks thrown at us. And even with all that stuff happening, the most logical person is going to say, this is crazy, this is insane, but I'm still holding on to a 0.1% belief that this could be logically explained by anything
right.
but Bigfoot. By anything, yes, until the night that I saw it. We had, you know, like you said, we've got a small little crew going on. We picked up a lot of people. And word got around from our friends to their friends, and people wanted to start coming with us. Say, hey, I want – my friend said they saw Bigfoot with you, or they heard it. They heard Bigfoot when they were going out in the woods. I want to go too. So we had about two of my good friends came with me, and one of my wife's friends came with me. She came with us regularly. And we go out in the woods we normally hunt in, the ones that we were in. And we're out there. Doing our calls and tree knocks. Keith does the calls. I'll do the knocks. Every now and then I'll do a little whistle or call too. But Keith's the one calling the shots, how we do it. And just about
right.
every time, within at least 20 or 30 minutes, we'll get something. We'll hear a hoot back. We've had one holler back from what sounded like it could have been 20 feet away. I mean, it sounded like it was right behind us. Yeah. Yeah, you could feel it almost. So we've had that happen, but none of that was happening this time. We weren't getting any knocks. I thought movement can always be explained by a small animal. We were hearing it, but we didn't know. We were like, okay, that could be, that sounds like it. We were listening out for it. But
right.
we pretty much called it quits after an hour and said, well, I guess it just ain't happening tonight. And we start to head out. And Keith being the guy that he is, he can't stand. He brought some people out there that hadn't seen it before or heard nothing before. And he's taking them out there disappointed. He couldn't stand it. So there's
right.
a spot on the trail walking out there that we've had rocks thrown at us. I've got a video of it myself. And it's like we always go out there at least 10 or 11 or past that. It was about 11:30 this time, I think. He cuts off to the spot where the rocks are being thrown at. And my wife, my little brother, and my friend, Hunter, they take off with him. And me and everybody else is sitting here saying, I'm sitting here like we've never been off the path at night. I don't know what to expect. This is new to me, nervous.
Sure.
But everybody else took off, and it left the rest of us saying, okay, well, Keith's the guy that knows what he's doing the most. I guess we're going to follow him. We get out there, and we're seeing footprints. We're seeing indentions as we're getting out to the spot. They were fresh, like mud was wet mud, very, very new. We get out there, and we're doing, he tells me to do a couple knocks. We're about maybe 50 to 75 yards off the path at this point. And he tells me to do a couple knocks. And I'm doing it, and he's doing these really low, hoo-hoo, like, but you know, Bigfoot calls very softly. And Keith just hears something. And we've got a night vision camera that can pick up things really well up to about 40 to 50 feet away. So he scans the area, and he just stops and says, it's right here, I see it. And everybody... I don't know what everybody else did. All I know is me and my little brother that was next to me, we immediately stop and look at what he's doing. And then Keith lit it up with a flashlight. I had a flashlight. Matt had a flashlight. We lit it up. And there it was. It couldn't have been no more than 15, 20 feet away. I could see it. Its eyes were about, from 15 to 20 feet away, it was crouched over. You could tell it was crouched over because you could see the slant in its back. And crouched over, it looked, I'm 6'3", like you said. It looked like it was about at my height, crouched over, like kneeled over. And this thing's looking at me, looking at us, dead in the face. It's got yellowish, orangish, like eye shine, looking dead at us. It sees us point it, and this is all taking place in over about 4 seconds max. This all happens very quickly. It looks at us, its eyes widen a little bit, it blinks, and in one swift motion, it turns and stands up and walks away in the other direction. But in that turn that it turned to stand up, like he said earlier when he saw his, I saw its eyes keep rising and rising and turning until I couldn't see him anymore. And as soon as those eyes were out of sight, I didn't see nothing, and it booked it. And Keith started to take off after it, and you couldn't hear nothing.
Oh, no.
You could not hear anything, nothing at all. And Keith was like, he made a run at it for about a good 10 feet, like he was chasing after it into the woods. As soon as he took off after it, cha, 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 just like I heard the first night, just like it. I knew that was what confirmed it and brought the whole thing for, full circle for me. Seeing it, I could see its eyes. Its ridge, it had a very straight brow ridge, a very long, flat nose, and it slanted outwards, its nostrils did. It burned into my head, burned into my mind. That was what changed a lot of things for me, the way I view what we've been told, what we've heard. It was a life-changing moment for me, really.
You know, it is. It is. You know, I mean, 10 years ago, I actually put it this way. If you have the opportunity to see this creature, it's going to sit in the back of your mind for the rest of your life. It doesn't matter what it does. You know,
absolutely.
Whether you ever see it again, you know, whether you ever see it again. Now, so you, what do you do for the group? What is your main job duty?
Well, Keith, you know, he's the head. He's the one who leads it. He's the one that's been doing this the longest. He's the oldest, the most experienced. I guess I'm second or third in age, you know, not only by a couple of months. So I'm the right hand man pretty much. I know how to do the calls. I've been with Keith enough times. We've been out there probably 30 to 40 times now out there looking. There was a period we went about 3 weeks in a row every day. So I've heard the calls. I know how to do the knocks. I've got the timing now. My job, what we do in our normal sessions, we go out there, Keith will say, I'm about to do a call, you give us two tree knocks. And we've got it's a new axe handle. We got it Ace Hardware, and we just wrapped it up so that it wouldn't, you know, shock my hand when I hit it against a tree. And I just wail on a tree and say, do two knocks. And I'll just wail on the tree loud enough for it to echo, and you can really, for the sound to carry. Anytime the calls aren't working with Keith, we're not getting that many responses, I'll come out and I'll do a little call that I've developed myself, similar to Keith's, but just something different. I based it off one that I heard before from a Bigfoot. Try to just get a different response. But other than that, after we get the evidence, me and Keith will, it's me and him who are sitting here picking the stuff out of the pictures, pointing out what we see.
Audio,
yeah. We pick up and pretty much just analyze all the data we gathered. That's just about it. That's what I do.
Wow, outstanding. You know, I got to say, you know, you guys, your methodical approach at what you do is a refreshing thing. And you have to understand there's not too many, well, there's not very many young men like yourselves out there that are still, that are interested in the outdoors and not the TV, the computer screen, and the video game. So it's very refreshing to see that somebody that's had an experience is taking younger men under their wings and teaching them what's going on. You know, I mean, that's another reason why I've enjoyed being with you guys, because, you know, you're learning, you're understanding. You're the next generation of Bigfoot hunters, you know.
That's right.
We can't do it forever. And by you guys picking up where, you know, Keith will pass the baton on down the road, I'm sure. You know, you got to keep the flame going. Keep the ball rolling and making sure that this is creature staying out in the forefront so people know around the world that Santa Claus isn't real, but Bigfoot is. You can
That's
probably
right.
catch a Bigfoot. You can't put a ghost in a jar, but you might be able to stick one in one of them Ghostbusters Transformer jails. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
So, you know, we've talked to you. I've talked a little bit to Keith. I want to hear, does Zane want to talk to us this evening? Has he had an encounter?
Zane would be like our, I'm not going to call out any particular names, but there's a certain group of people on a certain show that have a team member that reels them in. They look at everything logically and say, well, that's going to be this, it's not that. That's what our Zane is in our group.
So Zane is your baby?
He's our resident skeptic that always goes out with us to reel us in if he thinks we're just grasping at straws, so to speak.
Oh, I got you. I love it. Okay. Yeah. So Zane's your leveler.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Hey, guys, maybe that might be the wind blowing through the leaves, that kind of a thing. Makes a lot of sense. Outstanding. So, Keith, why don't you explain to the audience what you do to get your responses that you get back from these creatures? Because most people really don't go out there and get any kind of responses. I want to hear a little bit about this challenge call. Can you give us one of those?
It'd be really hard to make out over the radio and phone, I'm sure. But
if you put the phone on the floor about 10 feet from you and you do the challenge call a different direction, we get an idea.
Hold on.
Get your recorder ready, folks.
I'm ready, PJ. You ready?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can pick that up or not.
Yeah, we picked it up all right. And that's your patented bring them in, get them all challenged up while you in my area call?
For some reason, that particular vocalization will usually get, but what sounds like a car coming through the woods at you.
And well, then, you know, last night on the other side of the Georgia side of the Chattahoochee, something came back at us, you know.
Right, exactly.
You know, so take us through this morning's, you know, hike through the woods. And, you know, I don't think I've seen so many breaks in one area. Tell us about those in the bark and what you found.
Well, what's really funny about that particular location, we've got right now – probably a total of four for sure locations where we have families of these things staying at. And the one that we're at this morning just so happens to be in the same exact area where I had my first encounter when I was a kid. And I've gotten a couple of really good pictures out there of it looks like a silver colored one. And for some reason, I want to say it's a female. I don't know why I've seen that. There's something about this particular creature that I'm almost 100% sure it's a female. But there's a big debate going on about whether they use trees or not. And I found a huge nest out there. There's no way possible that any kind of native animal made. This nest was probably half the size of my house. And I've got some good pictures of a small, it's not a grown, I'd say maybe a very young juvie laying in the nest, baring its teeth at me. It never made a sound, but it was definitely baring its teeth at me. But there are just numerous tree breaks, structures out there. We've got a certain type of tree out there that they will peel the bark off of, and then peel the lining out of the bark. I'm guessing they're eating it. And I know that these creatures are doing this because what other animal native of this area will pull the bark off and stack the bark all on one side of all the trees they pull it off of.
So I got to ask you a question. Do you have bear around here?
No, not in this area. Absolutely not.
What kind of animal would take the bark off and stack it next to the tree and then gouge its fingernails into the tree?
Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe there's a bunch of Boy Scouts and they got to get a grub collecting badge, and maybe they did that. What do you think?
It's like a big nest I found. We may have some 800-pound flying squirrels in this area I haven't been made aware of yet.
800-pound flying squirrels, I love it. Oh, I love it.
Right.
You know,
and I will tell you,
there's always
going to
be people out there that don't believe us. And that's okay.
Exactly. Well, that's here's okay. The thing with that. The population of these things area is growing. It's at a tremendous rate. There's a lot of people I've tried to get help from on this because we would collect data, and we can only go so far with it here. And
sure.
And I will say this, TJ, your guys, y'all are the absolute best. Y'all do not hesitate to come down here and offer assistance, input. And as I've said earlier, I'm not going to call any names, but there's a lot of other people out there that need to stay right where they're at in front of the damn computer screen. But
well, thank you.
From what I've seen, these things will use trees up till they get, I think, too big to use them. And when I say that, I mean juvies probably up to 8-9 months old. And then once they reach a certain body weight, you know, of course, as anybody seen these things knows, we don't have redwoods around here. So, you know, they're not going to be able to use trees in this area after a certain age.
Sure. You know, like I was saying in the very beginning of the show, I was very impressed with the equipment you guys have. I mean, you have to understand, we travel across the country. We meet people that say they're serious researchers. They've got everything that they need to go out in the woods. And, you know, you get there and they got a big stick and sometimes a sidearm or a rifle, you know. I mean, we all know that it takes a lot of hours at night, a lot of hours during the day recon and sign and finding a spot where you can set in. You know, you're not going to be able to just go out and find these creatures. You're going to have to draw them into you somehow, you know.
Right.
And
like I told you, as soon as they're out hunting these things, is right off the bat, you don't hunt them.
Yep, so, Marco, we need to probably do a commercial right about now. I think we're just a little bit behind schedule.
Well, we got Ken from Michigan, and we got Jimmy Boots. Okay. Here we go.
All right.
1967. My whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot lives to a movie.
Yes, right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back. And TJ.
All righty. Yeah. You know, Marco, I'm telling you.
You have Ken on, and we got Keith. But in the background for our regular guys, we got Doyle and Swede.
Okay, well, so we got a good 7 minutes, 10 more minutes left. We'll have to break it up into a couple segments here. I want to bring Kenny in. I want to thank Keith and the boys.
and for coming on the show and telling us what to do. You know, our new right arm of the Searching for Bigfoot team out here in eastern, northeastern Alabama, Georgia area. And if you got any sightings or anything, you get over to our Facebook page. We'll hook you up through them, and they'll come out and check it out for us. Now, love to move on over to Ken up in Michigan. We got a few minutes. Ken, how are you this evening, my friend?
Super good. Super good. And yourself?
You know, it was a long drive down, but, you know, we're missing all that wonderful Waterwood Farms hospitality, my brother.
Oh, excellent. You know, it's about to snow here, so you might have got away just in time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess so. How much snow is they calling for?
On Friday, they said we could get up to a foot or two.
Oh, goodness gracious. So let's bring everybody up to date here. We got up there. We searched the area. We saw the areas where you saw the creature. I have to say, you know, having that cut through for the power lines right near your house, it's a normal thing where the creatures are at. They use it as a superhighway. And I also believe that there's some reason all your animals are drawing them towards your area. What do you think?
Well, we've kind of that's something that we've been thinking about, you know, and that we kind of felt that they feel like a safe, because all these animals stay here and they don't get killed and they don't disappear. They just stay here, you know, and they're here all the time. And some of the animals are turned loose and they go around the property and they encounter the Bigfoot, you know, and he sees these animals. And, you know, it's so weird. I was listening to that guy talking and the one that ran into me was a grayish color. And then when I seen him right before the fall, he looked like a tannish. And I believe I seen him this evening and he looked a little grayish. Something was moving and it was big and it looked a little darker. And I noticed deer kind of change their colors. And I'm wondering if the Bigfoot, when his new fur comes in, if it comes in like different shades for the season.
Ooh, what a good thought. I've never really thought of that. I mean, I thought about they get thicker for the season, but maybe you're right. It could change a different shade of color, green, brown, purple, yellow, orange, you know, to kind of match the season. Dang, Ken, look at that, brother. It's taken all these years for you and me coming up to see you to sitting on a radio show to come up with something. You know, that just proves that when people get together and they talk about things that they have a passion in and they share information that other people can learn and understand. You see, you learn something new every day. You know, you don't want to get up on the bike? Fine, let me get you a seat. Get on the seat and you can get up on the bike. Wow. It's by seeing things in a different light. And I'll tell you, you know, Ken and his lovely wife up there, they take care of these animals. These animals are like an extension of their own lives. And they rescue them from, well, like you said, places that don't want to keep the animals anymore. And they know that the animals aren't going to go anywhere else and have a better life. And I do honestly believe that you guys have an aura or a sense that the creatures know that you love them and that care of them, you're protecting them, and that nothing's going to happen to them as long as they're near or around you.
Yeah, you know, that means a lot. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
We've really dedicated a lot of our entire life doing that.
But it takes a special person. You know that, okay? A special kind of person to give that much of themselves to the land, to the animals, back to, I guess, Mother Earth in a sense, because that's how I felt when we were up by you guys. You know, you guys care about it. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are people that care about it, but I don't think they care about it like you and Stacy truly care about the animals, the planet, and everything else. You know, that's what I left with when I left.
Yeah, thank you so much. Because, you know, we never really felt, you know, exactly this way until we got together. And both of us kind of felt that way. And then we just kept going, and it just kept going. And this is where we're at, you know. And we just been working nonstop trying to get everything ready for winter, you know, and it's going pretty good. We're getting there, you know. And
awesome, brother. You know,
it's an experience.
Yes, it is. You know, with winter coming up, I'm hoping the creatures are still going to stay around with you, and I know you got them cameras outside, so if you would please keep an eye on them, snap a few pictures, get us something so that we can make all the naysayers wonder what's going on, and we won't tell them where they're from because we don't want people running up in that area. But I gotta, you know, I gotta move to my other guest tonight, Ken. I really appreciate everything you guys, you and your wife did, and the hospitality you show us for me and Rob. And you know, hopefully we can get back up there soon, sometime next year, buddy.
Oh, for sure. And thanks for coming. And we love you guys, and your show is awesome, by the way, because I think that it really gets out there to really help a lot of people. You know, because they're struggling with trying to figure out what's going on. And you know, and it just turns into something. And that's kind of how we felt when we met up with you. Like, you know, our struggles are kind of over because now we got more people like us. So it always means something when you can find people that are after what you're after, you know. It's pretty exciting.
Absolutely, my friend. Folks, I want you to go to the Facebook page, Waterwood Farms, and maybe there's a donation button or something there. You can give Ken a call at his Waterwood Farms phone number, and you can make a donation. Give us that number, Ken.
Our phone number is 517-420-3595, and then we're on Facebook and Twitter under Waterwood Farms. And
now, folks, a donation doesn't mean it has to be cash. A donation could be an animal is in need also, or it could be food for the animals, you know.
Or some equipment, or if somebody wanted to come and actually come and help us do some stuff, that's exciting. And then we're also
manpower.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. All right,
and they'll have they'll have a good time too.
All right, Ken, I got to move on to my next guest, brother. I love you. You guys stay safe, and give your wife a big old hug for us.
Oh, I will, and we love you too, man. And thank you so much.
You're very welcome, folks. We're going to move over to Pennsylvania real fast here, and we're going to see Jimmy Boots because there's been some action that's been happening the last couple of days. Him and Liz have been talking about. Jimmy, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm good. It's a great show tonight, buddy.
Hey, you know, we aim to please, you know. I just want to make sure we got enough time here. I got a few minutes for you, brother, and maybe we might not be able to get to Doyle, but we'll talk to him in the last minute and say hi to him. But go ahead. Tell us what's going on, Jimmy. Fill us in
well,
here in the next 5 minutes.
It's just some quickies. We just had some rocks being thrown at the house, not a whole bunch of activity besides that, but we're trying to document everything for you, so as we get it, I'll send it to you, and there you go.
Outstanding. So what did Liz think when she was out there with the picture you were sending me here with the binoculars?
In our PJs.
Her Bigfoot PJs. There you go. Outstanding. Liz, how are you, darling? What did you see out there? Did something scare you?
Well, you know, we're like Jimmy said, we're keeping a record of our findings. We're talking to a lot of people in the area. We've got some really good leads there that Jimmy will have to get to talk to you later about. But, you know, we have some activity going on, like Jimmy said, the rock being thrown, and, you know, we're just keeping our eye out.
Outstanding. You know, as the weather changes and the seasons start bringing a little colder area, they might act a little differently, so keep an eye out. Get some of them. I know you got cameras outside, too, so get them ready to maybe take a motion still or something. You know, focus on some bait that you might have. Maybe hang a, you know, a deer out in the woods. Just kidding. I'm just messing with you. Don't be hanging no deer out in the woods. You know, I want to once again thank you guys for the hospitality you showed us when we were there. You know, if there wasn't Bigfoot, I wouldn't meet all these wonderful people all across the USA, you know. And it's a humbling experience to sit with people, break bread, and learn about them and understand them and, well, you know, enjoy their company. Wouldn't you say?
And thanks for your time to us. Hey. We appreciate it.
That's what we do, brother. Hey, we're going to move over to Kentucky here for the last minute or so, and we're going to talk to Doyle Halcombe. Doyle.
Hello. How's my Bigfoot family doing?
You know, the Bigfoot family's back on the road.
putting the miles under the tire, hammering down.
Oh, can't wait till you get here and I can get in that truck with you, baby.
All right, brother. You know, I just wanted to, anything happening down by you?
Oh, I'm telling you, it's getting crazy down here. We've got we got turkey season up, man. We've got sightings of the squatch taking turkey. We got everything down here going on. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Good.
We are halfway through the Appalachian Mountains, and they're migrating, and they're going north to south to north, just like your dad says. And I'm telling you, we're right here in the heartland of it, buddy. Everything we got, they need right here. We've got fresh springs. We've got fresh creeks. We've got rivers. We've got everything, everything that the damn thing needs. And I'm telling you, right now, I've got like three guys that are going to tell you stories over the next few weeks that are going to be just phenomenal, including one guy that's going to tell you a story. And whenever he tells you this story, it's going to be one of the most fascinating stories you've ever heard on this radio show. Because he almost went to prison for Bigfoot.
Outstanding. Can't wait to have him on the show.
Brother, it was him, Bigfoot, or a gun, and he was a convicted felon. And he knew if he didn't get the hold of that gun, that it was over.
Doyle, love you, brother. We'll talk to you next week. Folks, that time of week, don't forget, searchingforbigfoot.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. You might go to searchingforbigfoot.com. We're here every Wednesday night.
TJ, say hi to Swede.
Hi, Swede.
Hey, TJ. Hey, man, I'm happy that you guys made the trip. Rocky had such a great time. I'm glad you all made it safe and sound. I wish I could have been with you. Got a lot of stuff going on. We'll get together at some point. Take care.
Glad to be sweet. Brother, be safe. Be good. We love you. Folks, it's that time of evening again where we have to say goodbye. We have to get back on the Bigfoot Road and travel down the Bigfoot Highway figuring out this mystery. Mrs. Bigfoot, we'll see you tomorrow night. Bye now.
Thanks, good night, Marco. Guys.
Good night, everybody. See you next week. Keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting.
Kentucky said
good. I'll talk to you soon.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster missing mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're brought them together, reason for the facts.